Good morning, and a very great thank you for coming. And may our Dibur Torah be a merit, the Ilui Nishmas, the Irachai, and Achama Bracha, Alea Shalom, Bas, the Danu, David Mordechai, Shalichia. We begin today a new daf in Maseches Nida, dealing with the topic of Tumas Leida, the impurity that is created by virtue of a birth. This is the very beginning of Parshat Tazri in the Torah. The Torah says, Ishatki Tazri av Yalda Zachar. A woman, when she will seed and give birth to a young boy, V'tam'a Shiv'as Yamin, she's to be Tame for 7 days. V'im Nekeva Teled, right? And if she gives birth to... And let me just find a pasuk here. The pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, Ishaki Tazria, right? Debrei Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Debrei el Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Ishaki Tazria v'yalda Zachar, if a woman is seeded, or when she will seed and give birth to a boy, v'tam'a shivas yamim, she used to be tamei for 7 days. Kimei nidas tvosa titma, like the days of the flow of her nidus, she used to become tamei. Uvayom hashmini yimo b'sar laso. And on the 8th day, he should have a brismila. Then ushloshim yom ushloshim yom teshevid mei tara. Then for another 33 days, she sits in bloods of purity. In other words, whatever blood comes out during the next 33 days is tahar. However, even though she's tahar, that means that she's allowed to have intercourse with her husband. But b'chol kodesh lo siga, she's still not allowed to touch holy things. So she's not fully tahar. She's like halfway tahar. She still needs to wait till the end of the 40th day to be able to touch holy things. Lo mikdash lo savo ad melosi mei tahara, until the completion of the days of her purity. However, im nekeva seled, if she gives birth to a female, v'tamash v'ayim k'nidasa, she's tame for 2 weeks, like a nida. And then v'shishim yom v'sheshitam im teshevot mei tahara, then she has 66 days of sitting on bloods of purity, uvimlosi mei tahara levein olavas, and when there's the completion of the days of purity for either a boy or a girl, tavi keves ben shnaso la'ola, then she brings a karban of a sheep together with a ben yona otor l'chatas, with a pigeon or turtle dove as a chatas, al pesach ol moed ala kohen, to the entrance of the kohen, the entrance of the tent of meeting to the kohen, v'yikrivo lefnei Hashem v'chipir alea. The Kohen will bring it before God and atone for her, v'taharam yimukardamea, and purify her from the source of her bloods. Zos toras hayaledes, this is the law of the woman who gives birth, lazachar lanekeva, for a male or a female. V'imlosim sayadah deyse, and if she can't afford a sheep, v'lachash deysorim, then she buys 2 pigeons, or shnei bnei yona, I'm sorry, 2 turtle doves, or 2 pigeons, echad l'ola v'echad l'chatas, one is an ola, one is a chatas, v'chipar lea kohen, v'tahera. Kohen will atone for her, and she will become pure. So that's the topic of today's daf. These psukim, the law that when a woman gives birth, there is impurity, then there is purity. The purity is not a complete purity; it's just a purity to enable her to be with her husband. It's not a purity that enables her to enter the temple. Only at the end of day 40 or at the end of day 80 can she bring the karbanos that will permit her to enter the temple and touch truma. Says the Mishnah, Yotze Dofen. A baby who's not born naturally. In other words, it's a C-section. The doctors saw there was a problem. They had to cut open the stomach and take out the baby through the stomach. So the baby didn't go through the birth canal. So according to the Tanakhama, in Yoshua and all of you made Tuma, it's not called a birth. So if it's not called a birth, so then there's no law of 7 days of Tuma. You made Tahara, then there's no law of 33 days of purity, that whatever blood comes out is pure. Ain't chayav an olive carbon, and at the end of the 40 days, there's no need to bring a carbon yoledes. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, I raise a kilud. Even a baby born through a C-section is also considered a baby born. There's, if he's a male, there's 7 days of impurity, then 33 days of purity, and then she should bring the carbon of a mother who gave birth. So we have an argument. Tana Kama holds C-section is not a birth. And Rabbi Shimon holds, C-section is a regular birth. Next law of the Mishnah. When we talk about the tuma of nida, that can happen even when the blood is still inside the woman's body. As long as the blood has left the uterus and has gone into the vagina, into the outer room, it makes her tamei. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, Dami yezova bivisara. Blood will be her flow in her flesh. If the blood is inside her flesh, even though it's still inside her body, she is tamei. Aval hazav. But when we deal with the impurity of a man who has discharges of gonorrhea, zav, right? That liquid that looks like the water of barley dough, ubal keri, or a man who has a discharge, nebuch of semen, einan mitamin, if they're still inside the body, they don't create impurity. They only create the impurity once these drops of fluid exit the organ of the man. So therefore, says the Mishnah, the last law. Let's say you have a Kohen eating truma, and Nebuch Hirgish in his Dazue Varav. He realizes that he's getting himself all aroused, and the semen's about to come out. So if the semen will come out, he's going to become tummy. He's got to somehow keep the semen in till the truma gets swallowed. So Ochez Ba'ama, he grabs onto the organ, Ubolea es ha-truma, and swallows the truma to keep the semen from coming out. Now, in regards to semen and Zov, Mitamim Bekolshu, if even a tiny amount of liquid comes out that creates the tumma, it doesn't have to be like, I don't know, a finger worth or a kazayas worth, and a little bit, even a drop. Afilu ke'ena chardol, even if the drop is the size of a barley seed. Ube pachos mikain, and even if it is less than a barley seed. Okay, so the first part of the Mishnah was an argument between Tana Kama, what we would call Chachamim, the sages, and Rabbi Shimon, about C-section. Do the verses in the beginning of Parshas Tazria apply to a baby coming out through C-section? According to the Tana Kama, they do not apply. So a baby born through C-section does not create impurity, doesn't have days of purity, doesn't have to bring, the mother doesn't have to bring a sacrifice. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, a baby born through C-section has the same status and is included in the verses in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. If it's a boy, there's 7 days of impurity. If it's a girl, 14 days of impurity. If it's a boy, 33 days of purity. If it's a girl, 66 days of purity. And at the end of the completion of the term of purity or impurity, there have to be karbanos brought. That's the Gemara.
Rabbi Shimon, is halacha? Is it for me, Rabbi?
Is Rabbi Shimon halacha? Let me check. Let me look it up. Usually not. Usually we'd pass in like the Chacham.
Yeah, it's a dolphin. Doesn't create too much
either. Okay, so then halacha is like the Chacham. Thank you. Let's see what it says back here.
Right after C-section, the mother could have tumor.
But it's almost impossible for the blood not to flow through that place eventually.
That's right.
Because of the surgery.
So a woman who has a C-section does not have the impurity. That's good. Good. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish. Rav Mani Bar Patish said, Mai ta, mai adu rabbanan. What's the reasoning of the rabbis and the halacha, as Baruch taught us and Almog taught us, that a baby born through a C-section does not create any laws of impurity or days of purity? The answer is Amar Kra. The pasuk says in Parshas Tazria, Isha ki tazria, the yalda zachar, a woman who will be mazria and give birth to a boy. That tells you, achetele b'makom she mazras. The only time that it creates impurity is if she gives birth, the yalda zachar is in the spot of the mazria, in the spot of where she gets seeded and where she produces liquids, namely, if the baby comes out through the vagina, and if the baby comes out through the stomach wall, and it's not called, it's not included in this pasuk. What's Rabbi Shimon going to do? Rabbi Shimon says that a baby that comes up through the stomach wall is included in the pasuk. So what's he going to learn from the verse that says, Isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar? If it would be for Rabbi Shimon, it should have just said, Isha ki teleid zachar, woman will give birth to a boy. So Shimon will tell you, he, the verse that says, ki tazriya v'yalda zachar, da'afilu, that's to say, afilu yalda l'kein shizriya, imo t'meya leida. Even if the baby disintegrates, and what comes out is just like a little fluid, so the same way she gets seated with a fluid, if what she gives birth to is a fluid, she also is impure. Rabbi Shimon, my tummy, what's his source? That a baby that comes out through the stomach wall is also called born, and therefore the mother has days of impurity, days of purity, and an obligation to bring a sacrifice. Amarish Lakish, Rish Lakish Torah, Samakra, the pasuk says, Teleid. The verse says, "Im nekeva teleid v'tamash v'ayim k'nidasa Shishim yom v'sheshes yamim teshev al tamei tarat. I didn't have to say teleid. I could have just said v'im nekeva, if there'll be a female. Why say v'im nekeva teleid? If she'll give birth to a female. So since it says teleid, which is an extra word, the rabbis don't say dofen. That's to include any type of a birth, even a birth that comes through the stomach wall. And the rabbanim who disagree and think that a birth through the stomach wall is not considered a birth because it's not ki tazriya, it's not in the place of the zera. Hi, what are they going to do with this word teleid? Meboiler, they need it, the rabbis, to include tumtum, the androgynous. What happens if she gives birth to a baby that is a hermaphrodite? It's got the male and female genitalia. The genitalia are covered with skin. Since the verse had begun by saying, Yishaki says we have Yalda Zachar, and then it says, in the Keva teleid. There, since it said Zachar Nekevaksev, it says male and female, Zachar Vadai, only if it's certainly a male, or Nekeva Vadai, it's just certainly a female, then there's the law of impurity and purity and sacrifice. But if you have a baby born that is a tumtum or an androgynous, then I would have thought that there is no law of impurity. Kamashman, that's why I learned for the word teleid. Teleid is to include everything. There is the law of impurity, even with tumtum and androgynous.
Didn't we learn the laws of pinyan haben? It says in the pasuk petem korechem.
Petem korechem,
but
good.
It doesn't say here on this pasuk.
Correct.
In this area.
Very good.
So wouldn't that be a case for Rabbi Shimon?
Good, but we're saying that there is a special pasuk. Yishaki Tazria Vialda. Tazria Vialda. When is it a birth? If it's a birth in this place of the Mazria, in the place of the fluids. Good. So now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, who learns from Teleid, that even a C-section is considered a birth, how does he know that Tumtum and Androgynous create impurity? Rabbi Shimon Afkale, he learns Tumtum and Androgynous, Meditani Bar Levi, from what Bar Levi taught in the Braisa. Meditani Bar Levi, the Bar Levi taught us in the Braisa. The verse says, "Uvim los yemei tahara levein olavas." When there's the completion of the days of her purity for the son or the daughter. So since it says levein, that's to say levein mikol makom, any type of a son. Since it says labas, it means labas mikol makom, any type of a daughter. So even if it's an androgynous, only has a little, it's only like half of a daughter, or a tumtum, maybe a daughter, maybe a son. That's also included from the words levein. Now, who could have said? Why did it have to say that in the beginning? Yishaki Tazria V'yalda Zachar. So it could have said later. Uvim lo simei tara la zachar la nekeva. Why did it say Uvim lo simei tara la veinu levas? So that extra word, that change of word, leveinu levas, is to include any little bit of son, any little bit of daughter. Rabbanan, what are they going to do with leveinu levas? They say that leveinu levas is to teach you that in certain situations, she will have to bring multiple sacrifices for each and every son. So Rashi explains, let's say she went to the mikveh after the 14 days of the impurity for the female, and then she had intercourse with her husband, and she became pregnant again, and she gave birth after the malos, in other words, after the 80 days, she has to bring a second sacrifice for the second birth, besides the sacrifice that she has to bring at the end of the 80 days for the first birth. So Haimi Barilis, that we learned that law from this word, Levain, that sometimes, L'chayev al kolbein uvein, or L'chayev al kolbasubas, and sometimes you're chayev karbanos for each daughter. Rabbi Shimon, how does he know that law? Nafkalei miditani tana kamei Rav Sheshes. He learns it from what? The Tana taught in front of Rav Sheshes. The verse says, V'ikrivo lifnei Hashem v'kipera leha, the very end of the whole section, verse 9. So since it says Zos Toras Hayoledes, this is the law of the woman who gives birth. There is a situation where she brings one sacrifice for many births, when the births are all before the end of the 80 days. Maybe she should have to bring one sacrifice, and it will work both for her birth and ziva. So I said, "What? What type of a thought is that?" Elio, let us achla dam. Let's say a woman is giving birth and she also eats blood, or you let us achla chelev, or a woman is giving birth and she also eats fat. Chad Karban Tizkilo, would you even think that one sacrifice could be enough for it? How could you even think that one sacrifice should be enough for both Ziva and Leva? These are two different obligations. Ella said, rather, what did the Bryce mean a minute like this? Yachol tell the El Leva shall lifnei Malos. Maybe she has to bring one sacrifice. Maybe one sacrifice would work both for the birth before the end of the 80 days. And then there was a second birth after the 80 days. And one sacrifice can work for both of those births. That's what the verse says. Zos. This. Okay. So now we have the answer. According to Rabbi Shimon, how does he know this law that sometimes you bring multiple sacrifices for multiple births? It's from the word Zos. According to the Rabbanan, how do you know this law? It's from the law Levan O Levas.
So they bring only one sacrifice for multiple...
Depends how quickly the births were with each other. In other words, she had a birth, so she can't bring a sacrifice till day 80. If before day 80 she has a second birth, then that sacrifice of day 80 will work for both births. But if she has a birth, and then after day 80 she has a second birth, she needs to bring separate sacrifices. One for the birth, the first birth, and one for the second birth. And the source for that is either the word Zos, or from the word levan ulevas.
But if they're one after the other, only just brings only one sacrifice.
Correct. Right? If they're very close to each other, one sacrifice. Okay. Rabbanan will tell you, afal gav dechsiv zos, even though you have this word zos, it's just levan ulevas. We still need the words levan ulevas. So Akadai Dachamina would have thought to say, if I only had zos, hani mili, when do you have to bring separate sacrifices for each birth? The treiburi, when it's two different pregnancies. Avabuchadibura, but if it was all one pregnancy, and one baby was born, and then 90 days later, the second baby was born. Kegon Yehuda v'Chizkiya b'nei Rabbiya. Like what happened with Rabbiya's twins, Yehuda and Chizkiya. One was born, and the other one was born months later. Emabuchad carbon sagla. I would think that one carbon is enough, even though the second birth was after day 80. Come Ashmalan. That's why I need to have the verse. Levenu levas. That no, that if the second birth is after day 80, it needs its own sacrifice. Okay, that completes the discussion. So we learned in the Mishnah again, an argument between the sages and Rabbi Shimon. The Torah says, Yishaki Tazria v'yalda zachar. Maybe that means only if the birth is through the Zria place, through the place of the seeding, through the vagina, is there all the laws of Parshas Tazria. According to Rabbi Shimon, no, since it says the verse Teled is an inclusionary verse, it's to include even a birth through C-section. So now we get to what our dear Roger brought up, which is Pidyon HaBen, we know, does not apply through C-section. So what about other laws? Why isn't that a source? I'm Rabbi Yochanan said, Umodir Rabshimon. Rabshimon agreed, Bekachim. She'eino kadosh, that if you have an animal born through C-section, and then someone says, I want to consecrate that animal to be a sacrifice, it doesn't work. The animal cannot be consecrated as a sacrifice because it wasn't born naturally. My time, how do we know that an animal born through C-section is disqualified from becoming holy, can't be made holy? Gamar leida. Bechor. We derive it from Bechor through the word Leda that appears in both places. It says in regards to Karbana Shor or Chesav O'ezki Yivaleid Umiyom Ashmini V'hala Yeratzele Karban. And it says in regards to Bechor Kala Bechor Asher Yivaleid V'vekarcha V'tzonecha Hazachar Takdish. It says both times the word, the verb Yivaleid, just like in Bechor Mahasam, just like in Bechor, it's Peter Rechem, it has to open the womb. Afkan, so too, when it talks about Shorachesav Oezki Yivaleid Umiyom Ashmini V'Hala Yiratzel Karban, from the 8th day and on, it can be accepted as a sacrifice. It has to be Peter Rechem, and it can't be through the stomach wall. So Gemara says, well, why do you do that? The Ligmar, why don't you derive the definition of Leda in regards to an animal that can be a Karban from the birth of a person, namely for the birth of a person, where the Leda me adam, ligmor leda me adam. Learn it from a person. Mahasam, just like in a person, yotzi dofen, if a baby comes out through the stomach, he's considered born. Afkan, so too, for an animal to be a carbon, yotzi dofen, should also be included and considered born. Answer the Gemara, no. Mistabra, it makes more sense from Bechor v'lelamela. We should derive animals that are suitable to be a sacrifice from Bechor. Shakein imo, because both in regards to the animal for a karban, it says the word imo, vayashivasimim tachas imo, and it says with bechor, shivasimim yiye im imo. So it says imo and it says imo. So imo mi imo, you should learn the verse where it says mother from the verse where it says mother, and therefore we derive from bechor. So the question is, no, adarabba, the opposite. We should derive from people. Shekein pashut mi pashut, because bechor is only the firstborn, but an animal that can be a carbon can be any child. It can be number four, number five. And human beings, obviously, who are born, they're not only the firstborn that are born, many are born. So the Gemara says, no, elami bechor avil elamelaf. The reason why we want to learn from bechor, according to Rabbi Yochanan, shekein imo, again, both sections have the word imo. Both of them are behemoth kadshim. Both of them are an animal that is holy. Animals that are holy can have pigle. If the services are done with the wrong intent, they can become contaminated. No sar, they can be left over time. And tameh, they get disqualified if they were done in a state of impurity. Ask the Gemara Adrabah, the exact opposite. May adam avalei lameilaf. We should have derived kadshim, animals that are suitable to be a karban, from a person. Shekein, because in both of them we find that it applies to Pasha, to an ant, to a being that's not the firstborn. In both of them, it doesn't have to be a Zachar, it doesn't have to be a male, it can apply to a female too. In both of them, it's not Kadosh, it's not holy on its own, it has to be consecrated. In both of them, Matana, they don't have to be given necessarily as a gift to the Kohen. The Gemara says still, Hanach Nefishi, but still there are more things to make it similar, Bechor to Kachim, and therefore we derive the law of which animal can become consecrated as a sacrifice from the law of which animal can be a Bechor, just like the Bechor has to be Peter Rechem. The animal consecrated as a sacrifice has to be Peter Rechem. An animal born through a C-section cannot be made holy as a sacrifice.
How about jumping from animal to human beings, the difference between two boys of naturally born mm-hmm. and a C-section born.
Okay.
Is only pre-haben, that's it? That's the only difference there, Rabbi?
Correct.
Everything else is the same.
Yeah. I'm Rav Chiya Rav Huna, Mishmei de Rava, Rav Chiya, the son of Rav Huna, said in the name of Rava, Tanya, de Messayel, Eli Rabbi Yochanan. I have a brisa which supports the lesson of Rabbi Yochanan that an animal that is born through a C-section cannot become consecrated as a sacrifice. The verse is like this. Rabbi Yudom, Rabbi Yudah says, the verse says about the Ola, Zos Torah Sa'ola, Hi Ha'ola, Amoktol Mizbeach. So since it says, Hi Ha'ola, this is the Ola, which is goes up on its fires on the Mizbeach. So we learn lessons from these words. But the fact that it says Zos Torah Sola Hiol Al Mokta Al Mizbeach, that tells you that even an animal that's disqualified, if it goes up, we don't take it down. But then some of these words are creating exclusions. There are three exclusions here. Prat, the Nishchat of Alayla, if the disqualification was that it was slaughtered at night, or Shenish Bachdama, that the blood was never thrown on the altar, it was just spilled on the floor. Or Shiyatza Dama Chutz L'Klaim, where it became disqualified because the blood went out of the Azara. If it goes up onto the fires, it still comes down. Shemal Sa Tere. This is Rabbi Yehuda says from this passage. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it says, Pa'ola, Eli Ella, Ola Ksheira. I might have thought that the verse is saying, Zos Torah Sa'ola Al Mokta. That's saying that the Ola, a kosher Ola that goes on the Mizbeach, doesn't come down. I don't know that even these cases, slaughtered at night, or nishpach dama, the blood was never thrown in the mizbeach, the blood was poured on the floor, or shiyatza dama chutz l'klayim, the blood went out of the azara, v'alan, or blood that was left over all night and never went on the mizbeach on time, or yotze, the meat of the carbon went out of the azara, tamei, the carbon itself became tamei, no sir, the carbon was left too late, Or shenishchat chutz l'zmano, it was slaughtered with the intent to eat it at the wrong time, pigul. Or it was slaughtered with the intent of chutz l'mkom, would eat it at the wrong place. Or shekiblu psulin, or disqualified people caught the blood. Or zarku estaman, even if the disqualified people threw the blood. Vanitel namala, shenitel namata, things that were supposed to, the blood is supposed to be thrown on the top half of the mizbeach, the blood is thrown on the bottom half of the mizbeach. Itan namata, shenitel namala, things that should have been thrown on the bottom of the mizbeach, thrown to the top of the mizbeach. Hanitanim bachutz, karbanos, that should have been placed on the outer mizbeach, the blood should have been put on the outer mizbeach, vanitan bifnim, they were put on the inner mizbeach. Nitanim bifnim, karbanos, namely, that should have been on the inner mizbeach, like the things, the blood of Yom Kippur karbanos. Shenit bachutz, where the blood is put on the outer mizbeach, or a karban pesach, or a chatas, a shachtin shul l'shman, that was slaughtered for the wrong intent. I mean, how do we know that all these karbanos, if they go on the mizbeach, don't come off? That's what the verse says, those Torahs ha'ola. This is the Torah of the Ola, Riba, Torah achas l'chol ha'olin. There's one law for all the animals, all the different olos, kasher and pasul. Im olu, if they go on the mizbeach, or yerdu, they don't come down. Maybe I include even an animal that was engaged in bestiality with a human being, male or female. Or an animal that had been dedicated to be used as a sacrifice for Avodah Zarah. Or Nevad, an animal that was actually worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Or Esnan, an animal that had been paid to a prostitute as her wage. Hamachir, an animal that was exchanged for a dog. Or Klayim, an animal that is a mutton, born from a sheep together with a goat. Trefa, an animal that has one of the 18 disqualifications of its body, the Yotze Dofen. Or an animal that came through a C-section. That animal, that if it's put on the mizbeach, doesn't come off. Tamalomar zos. That's what it says. This, but certain things do come off.
Once it's put on, it's on the mizbeach, it's like the fire.
It becomes consecrated.
Yeah, but it becomes forgiven. Whatever.
That's true. That's true. But we're saying here that it depends on how bad the disqualification is. That's what we're about to say.
So,
right? According to Rabbi Shimon, some things do. We do run off and take them off. That's what we're just saying, right? So, that's what Rabbi Shimon is saying. So, Omar Reis, Omar Reisel, the Rabbi says, Elu, Otsius, Elu. Why do you include some and exclude others? Answer the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon explains. Achar Shariba, Kosov Amiyik. You have the word Torah, that includes everything. You have the word Zos, that excludes. Amartu, we say like this, Mar bani yaseilu shayu psulim bakodesh, things that are disqualified because of the holiness, because of the temple, right? It was a good carbon. Then as he's slaughtering it, he has the wrong thoughts. So the temple service is what's disqualifying it. That, if it goes on to the altar, stays there. Motzi ani yaseilu, but things that were disqualified before they got to the temple, somebody bowed to it outside the temple. It's not a holy, it's not a consecrated disqualification. They come off. Okay, but why did we quote this whole braisa? Katani mihas, what did we say? Yotze dofen de lo. An animal born through a C-section, even if it goes onto the altar, comes off. My lab doesn't mean yotze dofen de kutchen. That if you have an animal born through a C-section, you can't consecrate it. And therefore, even if it's put on the altar, we take it off, because it really was never consecrated. This should be a proof to Rabbi Yochanan, who tells us that an animal born through a C-section cannot be consecrated, because we compare the definition of birth for an animal that can become a karban to the definition of birth for an animal that is a bechor. And since in bechor it has to be peter rechem, an animal that can become a karban has to be also peter rechem. Am Ravuna Braid Rav Nasan, it's not a proof to Rav Yochanan Lo. Liotze dofen de bechor. Maybe that's referring to an animal that was a bechor that was born through a C-section. Since it was born through a C-section, it doesn't have the holiness of bechor. So that animal, if it goes onto the altar, it comes off. But maybe other animals born through a C-section, they can be brought as sacrifices. Maybe Rav Yochanan is wrong. Maybe we compare birth of animals in regards to being a karban, to birth of a human being. Just like the birth of a human being through a C-section is a birth, maybe an animal born through a C-section is a proper birth in order to become a karban. That's what Rav Huna Breder Rav Nasan answered. Okay, we'll stop here. And Bezrat Hashem, continue tomorrow. Okay. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi omer etzal kadosh baruch hu lezakos Yisrael. Lefichach yirba lehem Torah mitzvah shenemar adonai chafetz leman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir.